gotta tell you straight up first that this is the first time I've ever done anything like this in front of this many people, and it's humbling. And obviously, I'm at the workshop for humility, and you know, I guess that's just the way God has that plan for me. Funny thing happened to me last weekend. You know, the committee asked me to come out here and speak, and you know, I accepted. And I figured I'd get a topic like spirituality, you know, or, you know, maybe the fourth step, or, you know, something really that would just be me, you know. And when they told me it was humility, I was kind of taken back a little bit. And the funny thing is that, you know, I was at this convention last week, and they asked me to come here, and I got my family together. We were all going to come here. And I pulled up Friday afternoon in a parking lot out here, and it was empty. And I had a very humbling experience, you know. And this is one of my character defects, you know. I'm just not real thorough, you know, and I don't write things down. So needless to say, I had some quality time with my family, and that was what I was supposed to do, I guess. You know, that was what God's will was for me. But humility for me, it's always my actions that make me humble, you know. I never look in my act of addiction as having humility as a way of life, you know. I'd always be humiliated. I get real humble, you know, when I get arrested. You know, I do just about anything they wanted me to do to get out of jail. You know, if I needed to get high, I was the most humble person around, you know. I would do just, you know, whatever you wanted me to do. If I needed what you had, sure, I got humble, but I never really looked at humility as a way of life before I came into this program, you know. And I guess what this program has done with me, what my higher power has done with me, the way it's changed me and molded me, is through humility, again and again, both out of recovery and in recovery. You know, so when I was blessed with the opportunity to come in here this last time, you know, and I've been through these rooms many times before. Part of my story is, you know, I came to my first meeting in 1978, and I can sit here and tell you that, you know, I don't have 30-odd years, you know. So, you know, I was continually humbled in my addiction. And what would happen was every time, you know, I'd lose a job, I'd get humbled. You know, I couldn't pay the rent, I'd get humbled. You know, but I never was humble, you know, in my recovery. I'd go to meetings and I'd identify out, you know, I wouldn't fit in. I couldn't just be a member of Narcotics Anonymous and accept the fact that I was an addict, you know. And what happened this last time is I just became willing, you know. The last time I came in these rooms, you know, I became willing. I was at my bottom, you know. They say you hit your bottom when you quit digging. There was just nowhere else for me to go, nothing for me to do. The scorecard read zero, and I was humble. I was willing to do what I was willing to do when I was out there using. You know, I was willing to do what anybody told me to do so I wouldn't have to use anymore, you know, one day at a time. And what my sponsor first guided me to, well, let me back up. You know, I came into the rooms the same way I came into the rooms in 1978. You know, I was going to do this on self-will. I could not get humble and ask for help. You know, I was a very self-reliant addict. I didn't need anybody. You know, I could get what I needed to get on my own, so I thought, you know, I did what I had to do. I didn't share with anybody. I was a real selfish addict, you know. I was just real self-reliant. So the hard thing for me to do was to come into these rooms and do the exact opposite of what I've been trained to do for so many years, and that was be humble and ask for some help, you know. The first thing that this first step asked me to do was admit that I had a problem, and I couldn't do that. You know, I couldn't get humble and admit that there was something wrong with me, you know, that there was something that I wasn't doing right. Because what happened was my ego and my arrogance just kind of took over. My ego and my arrogance works against humility. You know, I just thought that maybe I just had a run of bad luck, you know, was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I was dealt a bad hand by birth. You know, I just had all these excuses, you know. I had a handicapped mother, and that's why I used, you know, just anything that I could come up with, you know. But I couldn't be humble enough to admit that, you know, the drugs I put into my body, you know, I made an active choice to use, you know. And I guess what happened the last time I started to realize that. And what I realized that is when somebody else shared and told my story. But what I had to do is admit that I had a problem in coming to the rooms first. You know, and once I did that, I was on my way. That was the first step for me on the path to humility. You know, but here again, I was in the rooms. I was doing what I always did so many times before. I'd come in, I'd sit, I'd identify out, and I couldn't ask for help. And I knew that wouldn't work. You know, I'd been in and out so many times that the first time, you know, the life gave me that emotional body shot, you know, that I couldn't deal with, I ran out and used. You know, so I know I needed to do something different. And I was encouraged to get a sponsor. You know, and here, again, my ego, you know, got in the way. I could not go up to another man and ask for help. Please, guide me. Help me. I have a problem. You know, because here again, I thought that there was something wrong with me. I was unwilling to be humble. You know, I admitted that I had a problem and, you know, hey, my drug use is a little bit out of hand. I come into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, you know. But what my higher power keeps asking me to do is go to that next level of being humble, you know. What kept me clean yesterday isn't going to keep me clean today. So my disease is progressive, my recovery has to be progressive. And I had to continue to be humble. So what the next step was for me is to ask for some help, you know. I had to admit that my thinking didn't work, you know, and ask somebody for some help. And that was the toughest thing for a prideful individual like me, because I had all this false pride, you know. I could not admit that I had a problem. But, you know, here again, I was humbled. You know, I was 3 months in recovery, you know, got into those relationships that everybody tells you not to get into. And, you know, the girl that I was dating was pregnant, you know. So I had 3 months in recovery, the girl I was dating was pregnant, and I wanted to use. What do? Ask for some help or use, you know. What happened was, you know, somebody took me to the meeting. They wouldn't let me leave the meeting without asking for some help. You know, this was God just working in my life one more time. I had to humble myself and ask somebody. And all this person, the individual, did was say, sure. You mean you've been doing it on your own for 3 months? It was that simple. You know, so humility started to be real attractive. You know, I started to see some rewards from being humble. You know, and here again, my actions, you know, my character defects continually drive me to be humble. At a year, you know, I celebrated a year. I moved into this, you know, relationship with this woman. We lived together, and my daughter was born all in the first year, you know, the week of my first year. So I was living with a pregnant woman. I wanted to be clean and didn't know anything about being humble, you know. And here my higher power continually works on me, you know. I had to come to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. And once I did that, I had to make a decision to turn my will and my life over to this power. That's, again, admitting that I can't do it, that this higher power could guide me, you know. Humility for me is looking at my limitations, you know. And to look at my limitations, I have to admit that I can't do it, you know. I had always lived with women. I had always had relationships. But I had to admit at a year that I didn't know anything about relationships. I didn't know anything about raising children. I didn't know anything about staying clean on a daily basis, you know. And I had to make those daily admissions every day until I got some help. And with the guidance of a sponsor and revealing myself and getting that intimacy, you know, with somebody one-on-one, I was able to get that. And, you know, it's here again. It's continued humility for me. My story is much like everybody else's story in recovery. You know, my ego and my arrogance got in the way of my job. I had problems working with people. My character defects started to glare. You know, I couldn't tolerate other people. If you didn't do it my way, I had this control issues on my job. If you couldn't do it my way, then, you know, you had the problem. What happens with humility is the more I accept other people and the way they do things, the more I get to see myself. And here again, my higher power allows me to see me, change me, and accept me for who and what I am. The limitations of humility are that I have to look at myself, you know. I have to accept myself and change through the steps of this program. But to do that, I have to admit, you know. And once I admit and humble myself that something isn't right. I'm able to get the blessings of this program and change. You know, but here again, my arrogance, my ego, all these things, my false pride, stay in the way and keep me from growing. Recovery has really been a blessing, but it's a continual challenge, you know. After you take the drugs out of you, after you get that first year maybe, you're still an addict, or I'm still an addict, you know, that just had all these defects, all these same behaviors, all these triggers, all these things that went on in my life that kept me using. You know, nothing changed. Nothing changed until I was able to get humble. You know, once I was humble and admitted, then the whole steps could start working in my life. The most humbling thing I had to do in recovery, one of the most, is a four-step. Here, you know, what my sponsor was asking me to do is basically write down, you know, write about me. It took me almost 32 years to write about me. You know, I was never able to look in the mirror and look and see myself for what I am. The illusion of drugs is that I could create my own person. I could be whoever I wanted to be. You know, I could never really humble myself to look and see exactly what and who I am. I never had a starting point. And that four-step gave me the starting point. And through the guidance of a sponsor, I mean, it's all started with sponsorship. But if I'm going to lie to my sponsor, if I'm not going to write down all these things to take this fearless and searching moral inventory, you know, then I wasn't going to get any help. And, you know, I was guided to do this. And if I wanted to stay clean, I had to do it. There was really no options for me because I saw the alternatives. I went to meetings. I heard what other people did and didn't do. I saw people coming in and out of the rooms. My own story, the most important story in the rooms, my own, told me exactly what was going to happen if I couldn't show some kind of humility, you know, and that worked. Even more humility for me was to share that with my sponsor in the fifth step, you know, that here I am, I wrote it down, this is me, you know, this is me with all my glaring defects, this is me with all my assets, and here are my limitations, you know, this is what I can and can't do, you know. Accepting that is humbling, you know. I'd love to make the money that a surgeon makes. I'd love to have that job like an attorney, you know, and live that lifestyle. But be honest with you, I'm not really willing to do what they had to do to get there, you know. I'm an addict, you know, and I want all those things, but I'm not going to humble myself to tie myself to the books and do that, you know. That's accepting my limitations in recovery, you know. This thing is limitless. I could do whatever I want to do, you know. The people in the rooms have become those things, you know. But I know for me, there's a different path. And that's humbling, you know. That's real humbling. My daughter in recovery continually humbles me, you know. And here again, I had to admit, you know, when it came time to reading those stories and doing those things and being available emotionally, you know, I didn't know how to do that. I could barely read How It Works when I came in here. I had to admit that I had a problem and seek some help, you know, and that's humbling that at my age I had, you know, drugs and alcohol and all the other things that I did, you know, through my life really limited me, you know. It's admitting my limitations, you know, and then doing something about it. God has blessed me in recovery with a beautiful wife. I'm in a wonderful relationship. You know, but you know, you pray for these things. God always, my God, always gives a little twist to things, you know. And the thing is with my wife, it's funny, you know. We met and got married, and I was able to do all that. And then my wife got into pain, you know. My wife got into severe physical pain. And this is a symptom that she's had for some 15 years. And what my God is asking me to do now is work with her in her pain. And she's on a lot of medication. She's taking methadone. She's taking, you know, Dilaudid. She's prescribed a lot of, you know, a lot of serious drugs, you know, that I have a problem with, you know. But as I share this with my sponsor and I become humble, you know, I have to admit that, you know, she needs these things. And it's not her problem. It's my problem. And what am I going to do about it? You know, I have certain limitations, you know. When her paralysis sets in and she can't open up the lid and she asks me to pour out her medication, you know, that's difficult for me. And I have to admit that that's difficult for me. You know, I have to work through the fear. You know, I have to tell her that this is something that I cannot do. You know, I can't have these things out on the counter. I can't have these things in the bathroom. You know, I have to admit my limitations. And it's humbling because I want to be that caring, loving husband. You know, I want to be that caretaker. I want to be there for her. But I can't, you know, I can't. And here again, I feel like I fall short. And this is the thing that always used and sent me back to using, is when I felt I was a little bit less than, when I felt I fell short, I wanted to change my mood some kind of way, you know? And that's the trap for me. I have to admit my humility. I have to admit my limitations. I have to go to meetings. I have to go to more meetings. I have to share with the sponsor. I have to continually talk about what's going on with me. You know, and that's humbling. That is really humbling to come in, to spill your guts in a room, to say to a sponsor, look, I can't deal. I can't. But, you know, that's what I did in the first step. I said, I can't. I can't deal with this. And look at the blessings that have come to me since then. You know? I have to remember that. That's my story. That when I admit and accept, humble myself and move on, you know, the blessings of the program come in. It's a wonderful program for me. You know, it's a way of life for me. I never looked at humility as a way of life. You know, but my higher power asked me on a daily basis to continually be humble. And I have to try and do it actively. You know, I can't do it in recovery just by a result of my character defects and my actions. You know, when I don't show up to work and I go out and I do my will, man, it's sunny, springtime, you know, things are changing. You get that old itch like you got when it was warm and you wanted to use. And though you're not using, you know, you're going to act out on your character defects and just kind of go do what you want to do. You know, and then I have to go into my boss and look at me, you know, and I think about it at 9 o'clock when I should have been calling in like at 7, like, you know, hey, I ain't coming in, you know, and then 9, it gets a little harder, and then by 1, I think I'll just blow it off, you know, and then I have to look at that boss the next day and humble myself and say, you know what, this is what's going on, you know, this is what I did, you know, and then walk away and feel good about myself, or, you know, Or just admit the fact that I was honest, you know, and go on with my day and not use on a daily basis, you know, because things like that would make me use. What would happen was, you know, in my addiction, one day would turn into 2 days, 2 days would turn into 3 days, 3 days would turn into a week, and then, you know, I'd come in and just pick up my check and find another job, you know, and not use them as a reference. And the funny thing about that is, too, you know, when I did use them as a reference in recovery, you know, with jobs, you know, the funny thing was is that, you know, I had to think about it. I had to think, you know, what are my assets? Can I really use these people? And when I did, you know, and they called him up and they said, yeah, he's a great worker. He wants somebody 2 or 3 days a week, you know. I had to accept that, you know. And I said, yeah, that's true, but things are different now. You know, I had a job for 8 years in recovery. I got fired from that job, you know, and that was humiliating for me. You know, they had worked so long and so hard at this job, you know, and they let me go. I felt less than. I felt inadequate, you know. I felt humbled. And what happened was is my higher power just told me to move on, you know. I accepted that fact and moved on to another job, and it's been a blessing for me. Again, you know, just it says, I think, in the literature that humility is to recovery what air and food is to living. You know, I don't think any of us in recovery can get anywhere without humility. And the more humble I get, the more blessings my higher power gives me. It's just that continual humbleness. That's not saying I have to be a doormat. You know, that's not saying that I don't have any rights. You know, that's not that. But the humility comes, you know, the blessings come when I become willing to change. And that's you know, humility for me in recovery today. It's been a wonderful ride in recovery. Coming out here, I haven't been to a convention probably 5 years, you know, other than last week. And then, you know, I came here and just to see the room, the size of this thing, you know, I remember coming to my first convention and realizing that I wasn't the only one. You know, I'd gone to a couple meetings, I've gone to little local, you know, groups and dances and seen a lot of addicts. I never saw thousands of recovering addicts together. I mean, that's humbling. You know, you walk out in the parking lot and you see the cars. You see what recovery is, the gifts that recovery have given people, you know? And you realize just the enormity of this thing, the limitless possibilities of this thing. But here again, I have to ask my question, am I willing to do what those people did to get what they got, you know? And I have to accept the blessings that have been in my life, you know? Here again, I pray for a child, you know? I love my daughter. But God just puts that little twist in there, you know? She's got seizures, you know? She has a medical condition, you know? And she, you know, she's got a bad case of asthma, and it takes a lot of maintenance, you know? A lot of maintenance to do this. It's humbling, you know? It really is humbling. But the blessing is, you know, that once you can get through that, once I work through this, with, you know, through the gifts and the steps of my sponsor, the guidance in these rooms, you know, I was led to doctors by people in these rooms, by admitting the fact and humbling myself to that my child isn't perfect, you know, because I think I had to have this perfect child. And somehow it was a reflection on me. And when I don't have this perfect child, somehow my self-esteem gets knocked down. I'm feeling low about myself, and I want to go out and use, you know. And that's like the whole house of cards for me, you know. It all starts, if I can be humble to my higher power for giving me everything, there's nothing out of order in my life. Everything is exactly the way it should be, you know. And if I admit and accept that on a daily basis, I'm given that daily reprieve. Not the reprieve for a month, not for a year, not for, you know, some extended period of time. Just that daily reprieve. If I can wake up in the morning, pray, thank my higher power for just waking me, just giving me this breath, just giving me this opportunity to live another day and serve my higher power, you know, I get the blessings of recovery. Well, I think that's about all I have to say. I'm going to turn it over to everybody and have a great convention, and thank you for letting me share.
Art, thank you very much. Our next speaker, his name is Rusty F.
Hi, everybody. I'm an addict named Rusty. This room looks bigger right now than it did when I walked in here, and there weren't any of y'all sitting here. Funny thing happened when I was asked to share this meeting is I cracked up, you know. People that know me probably, I kind of let out that I was sharing at a workshop in the past few weeks, you know, I kind of laughed. I said, now, don't laugh. Ask me which one. And, you know, I was thinking when the program committee asked me, I said, you sure you want me to share on this? I don't know if I have any humility. You know, I really didn't, you know. And then about a week later, somebody else had approached me and asked me if I wanted to share on a tradition. And I'd probably do a lot better with that, you know. But I told him I'd already committed to doing this. And maybe that's just God's way of working in my life, like, you know, like he always does. You know, it's, like you said, there's that little twist that's put in there. And, you know, I had to start thinking about, you know, do I have any humility? Where have I, you know, shown any humility? I'm a pretty straightforward kind of person. You know, I think, and that's where I get misunderstood a lot of times. You know? I wasn't coddled when I came into these rooms. I wasn't saying that there weren't people like that, but the people that actually affected me and got through to me are the ones that told me about myself. The ones that coddled me, I'd use you. You know, I'd go right to you and hear what I wanted to hear, and I'd play you, you know. You were weak. You were humble. That's the way I thought. That's what I thought of humility. You know, I thought humility was a weakness. And I wasn't a weak person. I didn't want to be perceived as a weak person, and I sure didn't want to think of myself as a weak person, so I didn't show that. In my time in Narcotics Anonymous, I've come to look at humility in a whole different way, you know, just like I have a lot of other things. Like I said before, when I thought of humility, I'd think of being humbled, you know. Man, ain't nobody going to humble me. And, you know, the real deal is I was humbled when I came into these rooms. I came into these rooms on my knees. I didn't want you to see it, but I think my first act of humility in Narcotics Anonymous was before I even hit here. I walked into my doctor's office and said, lock me up. I can't stop. Just lock me up. And, you know, he'd been my family doctor for years. He treated my, you know, kids from the day they were born. He never knew I was using like that. And, you know, I hid that stuff real well, you know. I was married, you know, I had a couple of kids, I was working a job, and here I am coming into this man saying, lock me up, I can't stop. You know, the best I could get was this two-week cycle. When that paycheck had hit every 2 weeks, I couldn't stop until it was gone, and then I'd do what I had to do. And like you said, Art, you know, I'd humble myself, you know, to the point that I had to get what I needed. And I thought that was being weak. I had to belittle myself to do what I needed to do to feed my disease. And then I was at a meeting, and people started talking about the third tradition. This was several weeks ago, and listening to the third tradition, you know, I know I bounce around a lot, you know, my head just kind of goes like that. That's the way my life is. But when I was sitting there trying to think about this humility and the third tradition came up, I didn't think anything in that would have anything to do with humility, but they talked about having a desire to stop using. And that's something that only you can have. You have to do that for yourself, no matter how much we want to do it for you. All we can do is be a vehicle and facilitate it with our meetings and with sharing our experience, strength, and hope, and allow you that. And by doing that, I think I'm humbling myself to allow you to learn. I'm not going to do it for you. I'm not going to hold your hand and say, here, come on, I'll fix up your dope. Here, come on, I'll go ahead and I'll do you up. I'll go cop for you. I'll go work for it. I'll go do all that shit for you. Here, you just get off. They didn't do that for me on the streets, and I'm not going to do that for you in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, that's not the kind of addict I am. And that's where I think I'm misunderstood, as far as I misunderstand myself. It's where I couldn't get in touch with my own humility. But in talking about the third tradition and getting that desire, I had to get humble, and I had to admit, you know, that there was something wrong, and that third tradition kind of turned into the first step. And in my mind, I started thinking about, you know, just being powerless, and what I did when I walked into my doctor's office and asking for this help. And then I had to come into these rooms, and you know, I had to ask you all, say, I can't do this, you know, I'm powerless over this shit. My life is really screwed up, and I didn't want you to know how screwed up it was. I wouldn't let myself know how screwed up it was. That's what kept me using, you know, the using hid that shit from me. I turned around, and I guess I hit my bottom when I got into the rooms. I got quiet within myself, and I didn't know what to do with that. And you all told me I had to reach out, and I had to let you all know what was going on. I didn't know how to do that. I could be honest. I could be honest in what I thought about you. I could tell you what I thought about your behaviors, but I couldn't tell you what I thought about me. And that's what I had to do, and that's where you introduced me to the second step. I had to get honest with how I felt about me, and I had to ask you for help. That's hard for me to do. It's still hard for me to do. It's hard for me to ask anybody for anything, because I think I can do it all myself. You tell me that in the seventh step, you know, or the seventh tradition. You say, you know, you got to be fully self-supporting. You got to do this. And the steps are in order for a reason, you know. And I was getting way ahead of myself, and I was starting to think about this and that, just like you look at the list of the steps on the wall when you first go into the meeting. You say, yeah, I can do that. I can do it. Ain't no way I'm doing that. You know, well, I've already done that. And you go through all that stuff. Well, I was already at the seventh, you know, and being self-supporting and thinking that I could do this on my own. And I didn't have a clue of how to do it. And I looked at the second step, and I thought, well, you know, it's God that helps me do all this. And when I got to the third step, I couldn't work the third step. You know, I thought, well, I'd already done it. I'd already done it in the second step. And I didn't realize that what I had to do was reach out to the addicts in these rooms. And I had to humble myself. And I had to ask for that help, just like I asked my doctor. I got legal problems, I ask a lawyer. I got problems at work, I go and I ask somebody there. And then, you know, things turned around, and I had to start getting humble again and turn my life over to a power that I really didn't trust. I've had a problem with religion my whole life. I haven't had a problem with spirituality. I've always believed. I just didn't want to turn myself over to anything other than me. It got to the point that me was screwed up enough that I was willing to do that. And I did become willing. And that's a choice my higher power has given me. He's given me the freedom to act out in any way that I want to. And when I choose to act out and be God-centered, things go well. When I choose to act out and be self-centered, things get screwed up, you know, and that's when I realize the addict is working. You know, the real deal is I'm an addict. Always have been an addict, always will be an addict. I'm not going to be cured of this shit. You know, I'm talking about the fourth step, and I sat there and I was sitting there trying to figure out all this stuff, and I was looking at all my shit, and you know, I just didn't want to deal with it. I got back to the same stuff that I was thinking about when I was out there using. I didn't want to look at the wreckage of my past. I didn't want to admit to myself all the shit that I did. So I kept trying and trying to work this fourth step, and I couldn't do it. And then finally something clicked, and I read in there that it was a moral inventory. It didn't have anything to do about the trash. It had to do about the feelings of the stuff that I had done. And by the time I got to the point that I realized I had to just talk about my feelings, I flew through my four step. 63 pages later, I blew through it. But, you know, it took me years to get to that point to where I would do that. And then I turned around again. I'm going to sit in front of my sponsor, and I'm, you know, the humility in the fifth step is real apparent. I got to sit there, and I got to share with somebody all this shit. And there I'm thinking, I got to share my laundry list again. So we sit down, and he fills me full of coffee, and I get to rolling, and I pull out these 63 pages, and I get ready to start reading, and he says, "Whoa, wait a minute, what are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm doing a fifth step with you." He says, "I don't need that." He says, "That was for you." He says, "You know what you did. Let's sit down and talk about how you felt about it." He said, "That's what this is all about." So, you know, in his way of turning around and being able to get to me, and it made me realize that I could still depend on addicts, you know, and not have to depend on myself, not be self-sufficient in anything. I had to turn around and I had to ask for what I needed to get in this program. Y'all taught me that in a lot of ways. When I came through the door, you told me to get a phone book and get numbers. You know, and that was a way of humbling myself. And I'd hear something somebody said, and I'd really connect. And you told me to go up and ask them for their phone number. That's a humbling act for me. To go on up scared to death, not knowing anybody, and say, "Can I have your number? I really like what you had to say." Well, shit. I could talk my ass off, but when it came to asking somebody for something, I can't say nothing, you know. And that's probably half of the reason I laughed when they asked me to share in this workshop, because I kind of laughed, and it scared the hell out of me to share about something that I don't think I'm on solid ground with, you know. That's why I'd be more comfortable with the tradition. I feel on more solid ground with that. So everything about this program is just, it's humbling to me. It brings out my better qualities. You know, humility to me isn't, you know, that weakness and that lowness in my life anymore. It's flipped around, and I actually look at it as a strong, strong quality. There was something about my father that I always thought was a weakness, and I saw the way that he was. He was a strong, solid personality, and I thought if I was ever half as good as he was, I'd be a good man. But I didn't like the way he knuckled under with my mother. I thought that was really humbling. I said, "Why in the hell would this man let this woman do this to him?" And then I turned around and I found somebody I fell in love with. Fell head over heels in love with. I went through the ringer for years with this man. I'm divorced now from her, thank God, but I realized what my old man was going through. And what he was going through was a very humbling experience. He allowed this person to act out in those ways because he loved them. And you all have allowed me to act out in the ways that I've acted out in these rooms because you love me. But the ones that are really my friends have come up and told me about my actions. They haven't sat to the side and just let it happen and said, "Oh, you got to let them be where they're at." When you let us be where we're at, we go back out and we die. You know, that's the real deal. And that's why, you know, when I sit there and I try to, that's all I can do is pass my experience straight to the Hope One. And mine isn't a very light, easy, you know, lighthearted kind of recovery. Narcotics Anonymous saved my life. God brought me to these rooms, and y'all showed me what to do. And I'm real passionate about that. And a lot of times that passion comes out and it overrides the humility that I might have underneath of it all, because it's a strength, you know, and that's some of my character traits. So I don't think God makes defective shit. I couldn't get, you know, the 6 and 7 step kind of work their cells in my life. And, you know, when they were talking about defects of character, that just wouldn't click with me. But somebody said character traits. And I said, yeah, they are character traits. They're patterns I've developed in my life. They're traits that I have. And when I, when I sat there and I got humbled enough to sit there and have them crash down around me, have my arrogance crash down around me, have my control shit crash down around me, and it was pointed out to me, then I had a choice. As long as I wasn't picking up and using, I had a choice. Do I want to live with this shit or don't I? And then I got back to that third step again. God, I can't do it. You know, can you help me? I don't think I'm ever relieved of this stuff. I can go back out and pick up today. I can go back out and be the same asshole I was when I walked in these rooms. It's my choice. You know, but today I don't want to live like that. And that's where I'm getting honest with myself. So humility and honesty pretty much go hand in hand in my life, because if I'm not honest with me, then I can't get humble. If I'm running a game to me, then all that bullshit comes out again. You know, to sit there and make amends to people, I don't like telling anybody I'm sorry. Then I found that amends weren't for other people, and they weren't saying that I was sorry. It was just admitting that I was wrong in my actions. And that's hard for me to do, because then I open myself up to what y'all might come on me with. But that's something I got to do for my recovery, you know. The maintenance steps, you know, 10 and 11, I think the biggest thing about 10 is that I have to stop and give myself a chance to think. You know, it isn't constantly admitting I'm wrong, because I've been around here for a while now. Hopefully I'm not doing all that wrong shit. You know, I do it from time to time, and from time to time I got to admit it. You know, but I ain't aware of it when I'm going through it, you know. I get aware of it after I fucked up, you know. But more so now, I'll sit there and I become aware of the things before I get to the point of no return, you know, and got to sit there and eat my words, you know. Like you say, I don't like getting humble to the point that, you know, I've screwed up. I like getting humble to the point that I can stop and give myself a chance to think and realize that, you know, I am that suffering addict. Just because I've been around here for a while doesn't mean that my head is screwed on tight all the time. Doesn't mean I'm happy, joyous, and free and all this other stuff. But it does mean that I'm working on it. You know, I'm trying to work a program. I'm trying to do something good for myself, and I'm trying to do something good for another person. That's what service has taught me, too. You know, I learn these things in these rooms, and I try to take them out into the world, and what I've come to believe anyway is that we're all here just to help each other. You taught me that in these rooms, and if somebody needs something and I can help them, and I'm capable of doing it, and they're willing to do it too, then I help them. That's what you do. But if they ain't willing to do it for themselves, then I ain't going to do it for them. You know, is that being arrogant? I don't think so. To me, it's just, it's trying to show somebody how to save their life and how to reach out and admit that they're powerless over this stuff, how to admit that they need help doing it. You know, because I had to get to that point. I stayed out there a long, long time thinking I could do it. You know, and I almost died out there. Y'all have given me the chance to live, and I want to pass that on to another addict. But I want to pass it on the same way that I got it. And I can't sit there and do it in a light and easy way. You know, I know I've pushed some people away with that. I know I'm not really the right person a lot of times to go up to the newcomer, because it scares me to death to see somebody new come into these rooms that I've never seen and try to connect in with them, because I just don't do that real well. I do it. If I see a newcomer come into my home group, I'll sit there and I'll go up to them and I'll show them the literature and everything else, and I'll try to introduce them to a few people, but I go through the same stuff that I'm going through now. I sweat and I do this and I do that. There are other people that are better than that than I am, so I try to take them to those people, but I don't let them sit there alone. Y'all didn't let me sit there alone. And it's just hard things for me to do, and it doesn't matter how long I've been here, it's still hard stuff for me to do. Those are my character traits. You know, if I lapse in my program, I drop right back to that shit. You know, I get right back to the isolation, the arrogance, I get back to all of it. But I don't realize it as I'm slipping into it. That's why I got to keep coming back. You know, I got to listen to you all, and I got to present myself to you all. I got to get honest and let you know what's going on with me, because half the time, I don't even have to listen to the feedback. If I open my mouth and it comes out, I realize, man, that's screwed up. You know, so I got to come into these rooms and I got to let you know where I'm at. It isn't a toxic waste dumping ground, but I got to let you know how I feel. And that's hard for me to do. You know, I have to constantly do it, you know, and not just come in here and nitpick and bullshit. Sometimes I got to come in here and let you know that, you know, I'm hurting, or I've done something, or I'm going through this. And if I'm not comfortable doing it in a room, I better have a sponsor. You know, I better have a network that I do get comfortable with, and then I can get humble with. You know, so humility to me is just honesty. It's just plain out and out honesty, and it's honesty in a way that I never was. It's honesty about myself and my own feelings. And I say it, this is a disease of feelings, and they can be good feelings, they can be positive feelings, or sometimes they can be screwed up. But if I let them run too far and I don't keep them in check, then the addict takes over. Because I got this little green sucker that sits on my shoulder, you know. I don't know if you can see him, but I hear him a lot, you know. Sometimes he talks and I don't know if it's, you know, if it's God talking or if it's this addict talking, you know. And that's where I got to keep him, is out here. I got to smack him once in a while, you know. And if I don't come into the rooms, then he gets to talking a little bit more, and the voices get to blending, and I let him in my life and I start acting out. And then I got to go through all that shit that I went through again when I first came in, you know. I got to turn around and start not do a 10-step and do quickies. I got to get into a 4-step again, you know, and I got to add a bunch more people to that 8-step list. And I just don't want to do it, you know. It's been a lot of work getting to where I've gotten to, and I don't want to go backwards in my life. And the only way I can keep going forward is to keep coming here, keep getting honest, and try to find some humility. Like I said, God works in some strange ways, and I've been real uncomfortable up here doing this, but by going to meetings and by thinking about humility, I've seen where it's affected me in every step in my life, every step in recovery. You know, before I thought it was acceptance and surrender was in every step, but I've learned that humility is in every step too. And as long as I keep going down the road of recovery, I keep acting in humble ways. And if I stop acting in humble ways, I stop recovering. So, you know, like you said, Art, it is a base thing. And I had never thought of that before I was asked to come up here and share. And, you know, that was a humbling thing too, because I usually don't think about anything when I go to share at a meeting. You know, I just say a prayer and try to let God work through me. And actually, this time I sat down, might have been last night, but I sat down and I did some journaling, and I come up with a couple pages of stuff. It's right here. Don't remember shit that I wrote now, you know. But, you know, it worked. You know, it helps me get out of myself. And when I put that pen to paper, something about that honesty really comes out, because I can only go a paragraph or two before I start realizing this is bullshit. This is what the real deal is, you know. And it isn't 63 pages anymore. It usually gets to be a few paragraphs and then the honesty comes out. So that 4-step, it sounded like 63 pages was a lot. The first 40 was the bullshit, you know, until I found the humility to actually get to my feelings. And then the last 20, 25 pages was what I was really supposed to write about. And my sponsor sure didn't want me throwing up on him with that first 40 pages. So I'm glad he stopped me anyway. That's half the reason I picked the man. I remember him in a meeting saying one time all the 5th steps he'd done with anybody, he hadn't remembered a one of them. I said, that's the man I want. Because there's shit I don't want you all to know about. There's stuff I don't want you all to know about now. There's stuff that I think and that I feel in recovery I don't want you all to know about. But I got to let somebody know about it, because if I don't, it's going to eat me up. And it's going to send me back out there. And I ain't letting shit send me back out there. You know, the only thing that could put me back out there is me. And that's what I got to watch out for is me. Thanks for letting me share.
Hi, family. My name's Chris, and I'm still an addict. We have a little bit more time, so if somebody would like to come up and share, please remember that you need to come up to the microphone and remember that there's other addicts that need to share. So if anybody would like to share, please do so.
I'll take that for a no.
Well, it looks like nobody wants to share. So we have a nice way of closing. Could the individual who has the Just for Today please come up?
I'm Tiffany and I'm an addict. Tell yourself, just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I'll have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today,